Let's pray together. So, Lord Jesus, even as we read your word in a few moments, we ask that we be able to rest in you and in some ways fly to you. You, the one who has given us your word, that we would fly to your word and we would live. And so, Lord, help the reading this morning as Sharon reads the verses for us. Help us as we listen. Help Brian as he speaks to us. Help me as I speak. That you would bind that all together, weave it all together, Lord, a message for your people this morning that would give us life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read in a few moments. So if you take out your Bibles, if you have them close to you, the book or the letter to Colossians, to the Colossians, the people in the city of Colossae. And it's a Labor Day long weekend, quite obviously. And as part of the Labor Day long weekend, I want to have us ask the question, what is the labor that God has called us to do, or the labor that God has called you to do? And so just a little advance notice, when I'm done the message, there are a couple of tables here at the front. I'm going to be asking you to come forward if you're willing to. Now, it's always invitation, right? Hopefully no one ever feels like, I got to go. You know, Pastor Yo said. No, it's always invitation. Lord's Supper, singing, praying, coming up and writing something down, always invitation. I'm going to invite you, as the message draws to a close, to come and write the calling that God has given you to do and to put that in the basket on the table. So even as I'm speaking this morning, and we're reading, and Brian's going to share in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to start thinking, what is the calling that God has given you to do? So the plan is, Sharon's going to read some verses from Colossians, chapters 1, 3, and 4. And then right after that, Brian's going to share a little bit with us that's going to connect with this morning's message.
Good morning. The word of the Lord from Colossians. Colossians 1, 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians 3, 22 to 24. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Colossians 4, 16 to 18. And when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment, and grace be with you.
I just want to share with you a part of my story. As a young adult, there was a point where I felt and heard God calling me into ministry. I think actually in hindsight now, I see that calling actually probably came before. Even in my high school years, I think it was there, but I wasn't ready to hear it. I wasn't ready to accept it. And so I just kind of put it aside and ignored it. When I was early 20s, I decided to accept that call. Before that, I left high school and I did a bunch of different jobs, none of them which really fit me, sometimes enjoyable, but they really weren't, they just didn't really fit. One of the jobs was working in a Christian company as a machinist. I wasn't a very good machinist. I would make mistakes, but I was okay. And it came to a point after a few years where the owner of the company, who was a Christian, he said to me, "I don't think this is where you belong. I think God has called you somewhere." And that, again, was affirmation for me that I'd been called into a ministry. And so at that point, that along with other things in my life led me to finally embrace that. And so the first step on that journey was to go back to school. It took me about 5 years. I learned a lot about myself in that time, about how God's creation works, and more about what my specific call was. So you're probably thinking right now, what is he talking about? Because people who know me, I'm an engineer. I'm working in a high-tech industry, designing stuff in your cell phones, and what does this have to do with ministry? But that's exactly it. That role, that calling for me, was not into going into another country to preach. It was to be an engineer. It was to work in God's creation, and as it says in Genesis, we're called to subdue and have dominion over creation, and my role was to create technology that helps us make the world a better place. I want to share something. I just came across this last night. It's in the banner. It's actually in the current banner. I think it's in your mail slot, so I'd encourage you to read through that. The author was talking about work and vocation, and he had a quote from Martin Luther. So I just want to share that with you. "It looks like a great thing when a monk renounces everything, carries on the life of asceticism, fasts, watches, prays. Or maybe this, as we might say today, because we don't have a lot of monks, when someone devotes their life to serving in Costa Rica or Mexico or Somalia, we see that as a high call." Martin Luther goes on to say, "On the other hand, it looks like a small thing when a maid cooks and cleans and does other housework. But because God's command or calling is there, even such a small work must be praised as a service of God far surpassing the holiness and asceticism of all the monks and nuns." So those words resonate with me. I think God called me into a career creating technology. And when I see that call through the worldview that Luther expresses, it's freeing. It's also challenging. God doesn't just call missionaries and pastors. He calls maids. He calls farmers. He calls plumbers. And I dare say it, he even calls engineers.
What a great introduction to my message. Unbelievable. So if you're able to remember what Brian said and then kind of stay with me, you'll say, "Man, like, were they working together?" Well, sort of we were, but maybe not in the way you're thinking. I think there are times in the services where God orchestrates things and puts them together. I was talking to Brian. I thought, should you talk after the sermon or before the sermon? Should you talk after the sermon sort of as an exclamation mark on what I'm saying, or should you start sort of with a little bit of a teaser? Because typically we don't use words like calling and ministry in a generic or wide way, in a universal way. If you've ever been part of a church community or this church community, when we say the word calling and ministry, we're typically thinking very narrow, usually, right? Certain people get called, certain people do ministry, but I think the Bible takes words like calling and ministry and other words and democratizes them or universalizes them or takes these words and gives them as gifts to all Christian believers. So I want to just quickly go through the verses, some of the verses that Sharon read for us, and then connect them with this idea that the words we use, we sometimes Christianize them, make them special words in the church, are special words, but are not words for special people. So let me just go through this rather quickly and then make some comments I'll just begin with the first few verses that Sharon read for us. Right from the beginning of Colossians chapter 1, Paul introduces himself, the writer of this letter, and he says, this letter is for God's holy people. And most translations in the past have said, this is for God's saints. That's the word that's used there in the original language. So we should ask, who are the saints? Now, most of us, and even though I know where this message is going, when I hear the word saints, I think special person, religious person, very good person. They're sort of on a tier above me. So they're the saints, or the saints, they're specially committed to God, and then I'm down here kind of regular yo. Right? That's not how this verse or other verses in the Bible use this word. The saints are the brothers and sisters in this church. The saints are all those to whom this letter is written to. And they are saints not because they're so good. That's what we always think. Saints, special, good, religious, committed. No, no, they're saints because they're connected. I want to say this morning like this. They're connected to the saints. Right? They're connected to Jesus, who is the Holy One. So not so much because of who they are, but because of their commitment to an association with Jesus, this author calls them saints. Or in the third chapter, let the message, Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. So who are those who are called to teach in the church community? Well, there are teachers, hopefully some leaders, elders, a pastor, but this verse is not so much concerned about them. It says, as you teach and admonish one another. It's like the ministry of teaching is meant to be a ministry that goes back and forth. I'm saying some things, or really it's here, I'm singing some things, and to you and maybe you to me, it's a back and forth ministry of Jesus among the members of the church community. So we teach each other. I think we're meant to show hospitality to one another back and forth. We're called to extend forgiveness to one another back and forth. And this is these aren't things that you have to do. This is always about extending the grace of Jesus from one member to another. Not so much top down. Here the teacher is going to teach you, but the members of the church admonishing and teaching each other. Or the next verse, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now typically, at least in my mind in the past, I think about, well, who works in the name of Jesus? Who does work in the name of Jesus? Typically, it's the religious person, the special Christian worker. But that's not the focus here. The focus is whatever you do, a call out to the church in general. Whatever you're doing, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or a few verses later, whatever you do, again, that universal phrase, whatever you're doing, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So who serves Jesus? Just the pastor? Just the Christian worker? That's not the vision of the Bible. Right? Whatever you're doing, with all your heart, work for the Lord. Or even at the end of this letter, Colossians 4:17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you received in the Lord. Now, we don't know what this ministry is, really. I assume, as soon as I read that verse, it must be a Christian ministry, some sort of work in the church. But that doesn't say that here. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But the word ministry becomes a word that encompasses all kinds of work, whatever we're doing as we work for the Lord. So this morning, I'm trying to quickly highlight these words that we give kind of this special definition to. Ministry, calling, saints, teaching, working for the Lord are not narrow words in the Bible, are not focused on a few people, but are meant to be for all God's people. And verses like this really point us in a certain direction. They point us away from their sacred work and their secular work, right? There's special God work, and then there's ordinary work. Verses like this say there isn't that kind of divide in the Christian world among believers. It's these verses point us away from special callings from God, or only certain people can serve Jesus with their work, with their daily vocation. And for those, and now I'm really jumping ahead 1 week, you know, next week Sunday is our kickoff Sunday, and we're going to start a sermon series that's going to focus on the what I'm going to call the rediscovered truths of the Reformation. The Reformation was an event, but really a movement 500 years ago. And there are so many things that the Reformation rediscovered that I had to start this week already with this rediscovery that people in that time, 500 years ago, as they read the Bible, said, it's not just special people who serve God. And how they called it was the priesthood of all believers, which was a radical idea 500 years ago. I'm not sure if we can imagine what life was like in Western Europe 500 years ago when the church, boom, like it was the influence in society. And when you're the influence, when you're the power, you want people, oh, all those people in the church working for the church, they're really special. They're on a higher level. I can understand kind of wrongly how a group of people in the church would want that. Because if you're special, I'm going to give you special treatment, special honor. We're going to talk about a kind of a two-tier Christianity. The special people and then the rest of us down here. And when the Reformation or those 500 years ago said, no. All believers are priests. All believers are called. All believers are saints. All believers do ministry. That was not just radical then, but also radical now. And there's a contemporary writer, Alistair McGrath, who was writing about this concept and the Reformation, and Martin Luther. So this is the tie-in directly to Brian's talk. Martin Luther, who was maybe the key figure of the Reformation 500 years ago, Alistair McGrath says, this idea of the priesthood of all believers meant that all Christians are called to be priests and can exercise that calling within the everyday world. The idea of calling was fundamentally redefined. No longer was it about being called to serve God by leaving the world. It was now about serving God in the world. Now, Martin Luther is a person that I don't think all of us would like. And although I might mention his name a few more times this fall, I don't commend everything he did or said to you. There's some things he did and said we should not do. But he was unbelievably quotable. He said these things that are, you know, great phrases. So just a few of them that I came across where he said, God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, these three quotes from Martin Luther, but also on trees, in the flowers, and clouds and stars. which is a wonderful, for me, a world-affirming, life-affirming statement about what God has done, not just in the Bible, yes, 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 but also in the world in general. And then this statement, which for any one of us who is scared about when's the world going to end, when's the rapture going to happen? Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Now that is just like a, you know, you might say, that's just a, what kind of sentence? That is a crazy sentence. It's a crazy sentence that shaped his life. And I want to shape our lives. Even if tomorrow the world's going to end, I'm still going to do what God's called me to do today. Because that's what it means to be faithful. To be a Christian, and this is a quote for all of us this morning, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to live without breathing. Which I think is true, and I would love for all of us to affirm as a church community. But here's his quote on vocation or calling, you know, special calling. He said, monastic vows rest on the false assumption that there is a special calling, a vocation, to which superior Christians are invited to observe the counsels of perfection, while ordinary Christians fulfill only the commands. But there simply is no special religious vocation, since the call of God comes to each at the common tasks. So basically, when we talk about the words like calling, that's not for certain people, that's for all God's people. All God's people are called to something, whatever you do. And that's why Martin and others espouse this view, the priesthood of all believers, or you might say the calling of all believers, or the vocation of all believers, or the ministry of all believers. All Christian believers are called to do ministry in the world. Now at Nelson Avenue, we try to live in the what's the phrase? It's, we're in the stream of the Reformation. I mean, this is our heritage. I don't know if you all knew that. So many, you know, all the Protestant churches around the world are somehow in the stream of the Reformation that began 500 years ago, and we try to be part of this reformational stream and movement. Sometimes we do it well, sometimes not so well. Right, so we're never a church that's arrived. We're always a little here, not so much there. One little way, and I'm not sure if you've ever noticed this, but one little way we try and espouse the priesthood of all believers in the bulletin every week. Maybe some of you caught this, maybe not, but every week we have there's actually a theological statement going on here, pretty profound. We have our contact information, you know, address, postal code, then there's my name. There should be more names there, more staff there. Then our blog. And then this crazy phrase, minister, : everyone. Everyone. I'm not sure if you read that every week, if you're encouraged by that, but this is our little way of reminding each other, maybe telling others who come, when you come to Nelson Avenue, yeah, there might be some guy talking, but people who are doing the ministry is not just this one guy or a few group of people. This ministry that God calls us to do is for all of us. I want our church to be known as a church for amazing hospitality. I would love for that to get out in the metro town. That this place is a welcoming place for all people. I would love that message to get out. I would love the message of generosity from Nelson Avenue to get out. Or our love for God and love for others. But I would also love people to, when they think about this church community, to say, well, they know that there's a guy there who's been called to be the pastor. But more than that, they know that they've all been called by God into holy and sacred callings whatever they do, whatever they're doing, they believe they know God's called them. So this idea of the priesthood of all believers has implications for outside the church. And for me, Brian has pointed us in a direction there, a good direction. That whatever we do, it is a calling from God. And because, and it's for me every year the same thing, Labor Day weekend, I'm thinking about the students. I'm thankful we have students going so many places. I want to say, whatever school you're attending, you have ministry there. God has called you there. And I want to ask you to receive that and embrace that. I'm not just going, yes, to learn. Yes, to make friends. Hopefully to have some fun. But I'm also being called there by God Himself. But this idea of the priesthood of all believers also has implications for us in the church. So it kind of goes both ways. If you work in the church or are a part of a church community, there's implications, but also wherever you go, outside the walls of the church community, there are implications. And for us, implications are that all of us, wherever we serve in the church community, we are ministering the grace of Jesus. So last week, Sunday, if you were here, I don't know if you caught it, but I had a little bit of fun in the prayer, praying for Pastor Larry Asselstein. Anybody catch that? I just kind of threw that in there, put it in the bulletin. I was sort of joking, but mostly I wasn't joking. Because when Larry, now not just when he does this, when he's working at Queen's Park, he's called by God, he's ministering the grace of Jesus Christ, there's a sacred calling on his life, but also last week, Sunday, when he went to the New Vista Senior Center and brought the message, he's also in that pastoral role. So Larry, thank you for doing that. And I got a sense here at Nelson Avenue, we guard that name pastor pretty closely. Who's the pastor here? That's a good question for us to ask. Who's the pastor at Nelson Avenue? Who's doing pastoral work? Well, hopefully I am. But I want to say so many of us are. When I see what we do, what God called us to do also in the church community, not just here, but I want to say something about here. I see so many of us pastoring. I want to say this morning, and everything I do as a pastor, you can do. Everything I'm called to do as a pastor, you are called to do. That's how strongly I feel about this. So although we don't always use the term, so often when we think about people at Nelson Avenue, we should be putting the word pastor in front of them because the work they're doing is pastoral work. Now I know someone, I don't know who it is, but someone this morning is asking the question, well, why do we need you? Right? I mean, this could be, maybe not for all of this, this could be, wow, like, This is kind of cool. Maybe, you know, we're ministers. We're called. We're pastors. Why do you need me? And I would say you don't. You don't need me like you need the Bible and the Spirit of God. Like, we have to make sure we know that. This church can function quite well without a paid pastor. But part of my calling, I take it from the Bible, from Ephesians 4, that God gave to the church apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of service. Really, the word there is the works of ministry. So part of my calling is this morning's sermon to remind us, encourage us, empower us, tell us. God's called all of us. God has ministry for all of us to do, whether it's paid work or unpaid work or volunteer work or work in the home or work visiting people. And part of our calling as leadership in the church is not to hoard it or not to put walls around it, not to guard it, but to release God's people to do the ministry He's called us to do. This morning, I want to encourage us. I'm hoping this is good news. Some of you might say, I don't want to be called a pastor. I don't like that word. That's a bad word. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But what I want to do is encourage you to receive whatever ministry God has called you to from Jesus. Not from me, but from Jesus. That Jesus calls you and equips you and empowers you. He sends you. Whatever you do. And also, by God's grace, to live in such a way so that others know that you know your ministry is from Jesus. And sometimes that includes the way we talk about what we do, right? The language we use.